and on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love.
Shadows where my plans turn to dust, when I'm walking in the unknown, in the waiting I will trust. When the sky falls, when the flood comes, let the rushing waters rise. When my soul is water weary and I got no place to hide, I know you won't let me go. You surround me, my comfort and my song. Your promise is my refuge, as I know your love is strong. You have raised me from the ashes, set my feet on solid ground. I know you won't let me go. Fortress for my soul, my helper. You give me strength when I am weak. You are the one who lifts me up. You are the way, you are the truth, you are the breath inside of my lungs. You give me strength when I am weak. You are the one who lifts me up. I know you won't let me go.
Good morning. Welcome to First Christian Church. We're so glad that you're here with us in person today. We're so glad that you've joined us virtually online this morning, joining in on the Facebook Live conversation or joining us through our church website. It's great to be together here for worship as a church family. Though we are worshiping on this cold, frigid Iowa morning, we have friends joining us from sunny Texas and Florida and lots of other places. We are a church family together here this morning, and so we pray that this time that we've set aside for worship will fill us and bless us and renew us in our own journey of faith. As we have gathered for worship, if you're joining us for the very first time, we welcome you, and we hope that worship fills your spirit today. If this is your first time, I want to let you know that we have communion every single time that we gather together for a body of Christ for worship. We feel that it centers us and it fills our life and it gives us tangible reminders of God's love. And so if you're with us online at home, then we invite you to have ready the elements of communion that you'll need. And if it's bread and orange juice or grape juice or coffee or donuts or whatever it is, that is good enough to have communion virtually and worship with us. If you're here inside of our sanctuary, we hope that you pick up one of our little all-in-one communion kits on the way in the sanctuary as well. One other little note about worship inside of our sanctuary. During our songs today, we are invited to make a joyful noise by doing so by keeping our singing voices low and to ourselves and under our breath. For while we share fellowship and the love of Christ together, we don't want to be sharing our aerosol droplets with each other. And so we'll keep our singing voices to ourselves inside the sanctuary. If you're with us online or at home, of course you can sing as loud and proud as you'd like and make a joyful noise and to the God and everybody because there you are at home. And so you can shout like the angels, hallelujah and amen. And so it is good to be together in lots of ways for worship. We'll have children's church today. That's going to be taking place in room 4, and the jump class is going to take place in room 9. And so we're glad to have lots of different offerings during worship. If you are in the sanctuary, on the back of your bulletin, you see that we're looking forward to different classes and groups getting started. We'll be having two Ash Wednesday services coming up in February later on this month. The evening session is going to be broadcast online, and so they'll take place both in person and also online here. And Sam Helmick is going to be teaching a new class for us on Zoom coming up soon. And so as the numbers stay down for COVID-19, we are reintroducing things in the life of our church. And so we are very excited about that, and we're looking forward to new things happening. Pastor Brooke is not with us today in worship because she has some illness in her family, but we're glad that she'll be able to join us on video later on here in our morning's worship service. We mentioned already that there's not drive-in church today. We thought maybe negative 9, maybe too cold to have drive-in service. I mean, we're pretty tough, but we're not quite that tough. And next Sunday, we hope to bring drive-in worship back, but the forecast is negative 15 next Sunday. And so we'll let you know through our website and Facebook page and also in our church newsletter. And so we love having drive-in, and so we look forward to bringing that back once it gets above 0 and not negative 9 here in the next couple of weeks. But we're glad that we're here today in person, and also it's good to be with our friends online. And so let's stand for our first song.
To let it all go. Yeah, I see it now. I'm laying it down, and I know that I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, oh, oh. You saw my condition, had a plan from the start. Your son for redemption, the price for my heart. And I don't have a contest for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. I run to the Father, I fall in. I'm done with the hiding, the reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, oh, again and again and again. Long before my first breath, running into your arms is running to life from death. And I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling out just as
We come together to join in prayer, bringing with us our joys, our concerns, our worries, to lay them at the feet of our Creator God. Let us pray. God of love and mercy, you have called us and all your children into one family through the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. By his gracious presence, we look with new eyes at the whole human family in its imperfection and with all of its weakness. We seek your strength and determination to embrace all of your children. Love us all, heal us all, and share with us all your astounding good news of hope and new life. Oh God, we pray that you would help us to internalize your word as we hear it today. Help us to see the wondrous ways of your Son and to learn from his example. We see how he met demands and needs of all around him, but he kept his perspective and never lost sight of his need to spend quiet time alone with you. Help us, in the midst of our busy, sometimes frantic pace, to follow his lead. Rather than looking to serve where we are, help us, as Christ did, to think of people elsewhere and to work to serve the needs of those we do not know. When we would often take our signals from others, Christ shows us what it's like to take direction from within. As we walk the Christian journey, we pray that you will provide us with a greater vision. Interrupt that frantic life pace and help us to take a spiritual pause, which will make clearer our mission and refresh us for it. Hear us as we lift to you our deepest needs, our pressing burdens, our fears, and our hopes. Be near us, we pray, as your people. Help us to receive your many gifts with gratitude and faithful stewardship. We pray for those who suffer pain or illness, for the lonely and despairing, for the lost and worn and battered of our world. We lift to you the leaders of this and of every nation, every community, and every faith, that they would be guided by your Spirit and aware of the needs, especially of the least of the people that they serve. To the sick, O Lord, give your healing. To the grieving, give your hope. To the dying, give your peace. And to all of us, O God, give faith to go forth from this place, determined to live in the light of your good news in Jesus Christ. It is in his name that we offer to you our prayers and our lives. We join in praying the prayer that he taught his disciples, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Today, we continue in our reading from the book of Mark. We're still in the first chapter. Believe it or not, we are still working our way through those early scenes of Jesus' ministry. And so today, we read from the book of Mark, chapter 1, beginning with verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick and possessed by demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, Everyone is searching for you. He answered, Let us go on to the neighboring town, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do. And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
When our kids were babies, my wife Liz and I did our very best to keep them on some sort of regular schedule. We're kind of scheduled people in general in our family, and so we wanted our kids to have some kind of ordinary flow to their life early on, or as much as you can have an ordinary flow with a newborn baby. But right from the start, we know that our kids' days were filled with the usual same old daily events. They ate at about the same time every single day. They would go down for naps at about the same time every day. They would have play time. They would have tummy time. when they were little, that's about all they do, right? I mean, eat, sleep, and need to be changed, wash and repeat over and over and over, and that was about it. But every once in a while, there would be a lot going on in our house. We'd have the TV on, there'd be people over to visit, we'd be running around making a dinner or some kind of meal, the phone would be ringing, there'd just be a whole lot happening in our house all at the very same time. And so as you might expect with the lights and the TV on and the screen on and all the talking and all the people and the phone ringing, going down for a nap in this kind of environment was not the easiest of things. Some of us these days can sleep in any kind of environment at any time, like at the drop of a hat. But whenever you are young and a baby, you have a harder time. And so whenever the kids were little, whenever they're just babies, they have this kind of deer in a headlights kind of look. They were wide awake, and actually even more than wide awake, they would be almost be bug-eyed because there was so much happening around them at every single second. And so the baby books, like What to Expect When You're Expecting, if you've read them, have a name for this wide-eyed, bug-eyed kind of look on their face. Those books call it being overstimulated. Like there's so much going on, like it's hard to calm down, like they are bug-eyed, freak out, over the edge, overstimulated kind of look on their face. I was thinking about this time in our kids' lives because of the story that I was reminded of this past week. I heard the story about this guy by the name of Bernie Krause. He makes nature sound recordings for films and TV shows. You know those kind of sounds that whenever the TV show cuts away to a quiet street or like some camping scene deep in like some far-off woods. And even if they're filming in a sound stage in Hollywood, they need nature sounds piped in on top of the movie and show. And so Bernie Krause makes these nature sounds or records them. And he said that in 1968, in order to get 1 hour of undisturbed natural sound, with like 1 hour of no planes or trains or automobiles or sirens or anything, that 1 hour would take him 15 hours of recording time to get the 1 hour. In 1968. But today, he said, it would take him more than 2,000 hours of recording times. 2,000 hours today versus 15 hours in the 60s. Because there's so many more sounds going on around us. Planes and ambulances and traffics and police cars and phones. I mean, talk about being overstimulated. That's how we are today. I have to tell you, because you already know, about how much time we spend in front of screens every single day. TVs and tablets and phones and computers. It's essential, of course, these days to stay connected. It's essential as we've been living through these pandemic days because these screens have helped us connected. They have helped our kids and grandkids learn. They are essential for work and for school. They're essential for us as a church family these days to keep our congregation connected and to be growing who we love in our church family, and to reach people far off beyond Burlington. But I'm always a bit worried when that notification pops up on Sunday mornings on my phone that tells me how many hours I was on my phone in the last week. I always kind of cringe a little bit. Like, do I really want to know how much time I was on my phone? We know there are screens all around us. There's noise all around us in the waiting room at the doctor's office. At gas stations, there's a screen. In our cars, literally everywhere. And even if we want some silence, even if we realize that all of these screens is too much and we want to get away, it is hard these days because they're everywhere. I mean, Jesus knew this. He didn't live in our world with iPhones and touchscreens, but there were always people who needed him. We heard this story just a few minutes ago that we're still in this sermon series of called Overwhelmed with Joy of people meeting Jesus for the very first time. And as Pastor Brooke mentioned, we're still in Mark chapter 1. In fact, we've been in this chapter almost the whole entire series. We're almost going through it verse by verse. But even though we are still in Mark chapter 1, the fame and the popularity of Jesus has been growing exponentially. The Bible says that the crowds were expanding day after day. People from all over were coming to meet him, to hear from him, and be healed by him. He was so popular, the Bible says, that he didn't even have time to pray. That so many people came to be in his presence that he didn't have time to pray, to worship, to sit alone with God, or even sit and listen to the sound of nature. We heard the story that it was on one of these occasions when he was so busy that he got up early in the morning while it was still dark. He left his friends there in the house where they were staying, and he went out to a deserted place there to pray. I mean, just imagine a teenager sneaking into the house long after midnight, tiptoeing through the house, trying to wake the family. It's actually what I do in our house on Sunday mornings whenever I'm trying to leave the house quietly in order to come to church as the sun is just rising. I'm like tiptoeing through the kitchen and out to the garage trying to make sure that my shoes don't click or tap or thump, that I don't wake anybody as I leave. I mean, this is Jesus whose life was so busy and so loud, yet still being overstimulated and having no time to be alone. We know all about this with all of our noise and distractions these days. We knew what it's like. In fact, whenever the gospel says that whenever the disciples realized that Jesus was not there, that they decided to go hunting for him. I mean, can't you just imagine and hear what those disciples are saying? I mean, they're like, well, have you seen Jesus? Where'd he go? They would send out search parties two by two, like they were going to the ark, like they were SEAL Team 6. I mean, I can imagine them yelling out, Jesus, Jesus, come out, wherever you are, time to come back home. You can hear their voices hunting for him. This is us sometimes. We have a hard time finding quiet time. Even if our lives these days are less busy than they were when we were working full time, they're still full of screens and noise in retirement. Because that's the case, it leaves us with a dilemma. Because there's so much going on around us, so many screens and so much to do, we have to consider, what do we want shaping our lives? Do we want to live lives shaped by prayer or lives shaped by distractions? Do we want to be shaped by God's love and his presence that fills us, that comes from being in prayer with him? Or do we want to be shaped by every breaking news headline, every notification, every distraction and screen time? I mean, there is no place where we can go these days where there is not a screen and some kind of distraction. We cannot escape it because it's the world in which we live. It's essential to who we are and how we function these days. But we get to shape our days. We get to turn our eyes and our attention. We set the tone. And so as followers of Jesus Christ, if our hope is to live lives shaped by and modeled after the pattern of Jesus, then we get to choose to live a life of prayer. I mean, if God's desire is to live in his love, then we get to choose to have it shaped by that love. And so with living a life of prayer, our goal and our hope that we want to strive for as Christians today, let me offer two quick suggestions on how to do this. Not that I have all the examples or we have all the time to go through them together, but two quick examples. Because looking at the life of Jesus and how he lived in God's love, this is what he did. First, he made the time. And so if Jesus made the time, we too have to make the time. We saw in the Bible today how Jesus got up early in the morning to pray. Sometimes he would stay up late at night to pray. But it's not just here in Mark chapter 1. I mean, if you read Pastor Brooke's devotional on the email or on our Facebook page last week, then you saw how she talked about all those times where Jesus took time to pray throughout his life. Even though he was so busy and people needed him and they missed him, he would sneak away to pray. It doesn't matter when we do it. If we want to deepen our prayer life, it seems almost silly to say, but if we want to deepen our prayer life, we have to actually pray. We know that our lives are so busy, and no one's going to give us the time. So we have to take it on our own. Maybe it's 10 minutes first thing in the morning. Maybe it's 5 minutes sitting in the car in the garage before you go inside. Maybe it's stealing time inside your pantry with the door closed. And it feels like your family is hunting you down like they were hunting down Jesus. But it's still time alone to pray. Jesus took the time, and so we have to do the same. The second thing learning from the model of Jesus is that once he started taking the time, he did it on a regular basis. And that's the same for us. I heard it said once that it takes 21 days of doing something in a row to make it a habit. That means 21 days of praying, or 21 days of reading one of the Psalms, or saying the Lord's Prayer, or sitting in silence before we go to bed. 21 days. I mean, just as it is in sports or art or music, if we want to be good, we have to do it often. And so it is in our lives of faith. Living the Christian life like Jesus takes practice. It has to become part of our schedule and a part of our lives and a part of who we are. It's essential work these days, especially because there are so many things that pull at our time, that want our energy. Some days it feels like we are overstimulated because there's so much going on, but Jesus invites us to follow. He invites us to come away and rest for a while, and find a home in God's loving arms. Thanks be to God. Amen.